Last week, we did the first perek of Shaar HaBitachon Chovos Halavos, where the Chovos Halavos writes that a person who has bitachon, has menuchas nefesh, he's serene and calm, he's relying on the one who will do for him good in the area in which he relies on him, based on what the one he relies on realizes he needs and he could do for him. But the ikar, the main point, without it you can't have bitachon. That he can trust that the one he relies on will do what he said. And if it's not within the realm of what he planned, or it's not within the conditions, he'll do it mitzad nadav v'chesed. He'll do it out of kindness and generosity. And we explained that by definition, you can't have bitachon if you think that you only will be helped by HaKadosh Baruch Hu if you deserve it. Because if I think I only will be helped by Hashem if I deserve it, then how can I ever have bitachon? Because maybe I don't deserve it. So bitachon by definition is that even if I don't deserve it, even if I'm not worthy, the Ribbono Shel Olam will still come through for me. If it's not because the din requires it, it's because it'll come as a chesed. It'll come as an adava. I don't deserve it, but Hashem will take care of it anyway. There is a medrash that is brought in the Yalkut and Tehillim, Kapitel Lamed Beis. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Tanchum, in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah. Afilu Rasha Uboteach Bashem, Chesed Yisovavenu. Even a Rasha, a person who's a Rasha, but he puts his faith in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Chesed Yisovavenu. The Ibn Rasha will surround him with Chesed. So the way this is to be understood is that if you put bitachon in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, even if he's unworthy, he's undeserving, the Ibn Rasha take care of him. It's not din, it's chesed. Right? The Fnimishu is a din. Chesed yisovavenu. Chesed will surround him. So from this medrash, it would seem to support this notion that it's not a question of whether a person deserves it or not. This is not dependent on a madrega. Even a person who's classified as a rasha, and he puts his bitachon in Kadosh Baruch Hu, chesed yisovavenu, Hashem will protect him. Hashem will surround him with chesed. Ramban wrote a sefer or kuntos called Emunah Bitachon, and there he also says that even a person who doesn't have Ma'asim Tovim, he knows that he's a Rasha. Nonetheless, Betach B'Hashem, put your faith in Hashem. Hashem is a Baal Rachamim, V'Rachim Olecha. The Baal Rachamim is compassionate and will take care of him. Like it says, V'Rachamov Al Kol Ma'asov. That includes tzaddikim and rishayim, even a rasha. And therefore, the pasuk says, "Betach b'Hashem, put your faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if the person isn't doing the right things, whether it's a tzaddik or a rasha, put your faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Ribbono Shel Olam will take care." They say in the name of Vilna Gaon. We mentioned this last week. It says, a Messiah in the name of Vilna Gaon. A Ganev who puts his bitachon in Hashem to be successful in his Ganeva will be successful in his Ganeva. And the source for this could be a Gemara in Brachos, where it says, a Gemara in Brachos, Daf Samach Gimel, that even for dvar veira, even for things that are wrong, a person has to be close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It brings the pasuk kol derechecha da'eiv v'yasher chasecha. In all your ways, you should know Hashem, and He'll straighten your path. Even for dvar veira, if Papa said that's why when people steal before they break into the house, they say a tefillah. is seemingly incongruous. Why am I saying a tefillah before committing a robbery? The answer is because even though he's doing things he shouldn't be doing, but he still has bitachon, and he's still dependent on Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he realizes that. So he says a tefillah. He says a tefillah before the Geneva. So this is supporting this concept that even the person who does things he shouldn't be doing, even the Ganef, if he puts his bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't get turned away. The problem is that the Chovos HaLevavos seemingly rejects this later on in the third parak. In the third parak of Shahar Bitachon, he writes that a person has to realize that he must strive to fulfill the obligations the Ribono Shel Olam has put upon him, to do the mitzvahs, stay away from the averus, because he wants them from Kadosh Baruch Hu, he's putting his bitachon in Kadosh Baruch Hu. So if you're going to put your bitachon in Kadosh Baruch Hu, you better make sure to do the things that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do. And that's what the Mishnah says in the office, Asei Ritzono Kirtzonecha, Deshiyas Ritzoncho Kirtzono. Make sure Hashem's will is your will, so that Hashem will make sure that your will is His will. Batel Ritzoncho Bnei Ritzono, and make sure to forget about your plans if it interferes with Hashem's. And that will cause other people's plans to be taken away if it interferes with yours. And that's the pasuk b'tach b'Hashem va'aseh tov. Have bitachon Hashem, do what's good. So he begins by saying, this is in the middle of the third parak, that you want Hashem to do things for you, make sure you take care of what Hashem wants you to do. B'tach b'Hashem v'aseh tov. Now really that pasuk is the pasuk we said before. Even the Rasha b'tach b'Hashem v'aseh tov comes second. It doesn't say aseh tov v'b'tach b'Hashem. It says b'tach b'Hashem v'aseh tov, which could be used to say your b'tach b'Hashem is irrelevant if you're doing good or not. But the Ben Bechai here is not saying that. And then he says even stronger. He goes on. Avomisha yiftach al haboy v'hu ma'amr osoy. But someone who puts his trust in Hashem, puts his faith in Hashem, he relies on Hashem, and then he rebels against the Ribono Shel Olam. Kama hu socha, what a fool. Kama daita chalusha vakaroso, how weak is his understanding and recognition. Ki hu ro'eh, don't you see? Kimish in esman alo mebnei adam al davar, if someone is appointed over something, take care of something. When you instruct him to do something or not do something, and then he doesn't listen. So he is not, the person who's supposed to take care of him realizes he's not listening to me. Isn't that a good reason not to do what he trusted you to do? He's counting on you for something. And you tell him, listen, you're counting on me, but I need you to do this and don't do that. And he goes ahead and he does what he shouldn't do and he doesn't do what he's supposed to do. So among people, isn't it obvious that this person's not going to come through for him? He's totally ignoring me. Tell him to take care of this, don't do that. And he's not doing it. He's not listening. So why would I be there for him? So the Chavos Avov says, Kolshkein. Misha Ava Chukia Lakim Mitzvosav, you're going to violate the mitzvahs and the halachas. Asha Yo'ad V'Hein Aleihem. The Ribono Shel Olam told you, this is what you should do, this is what you shouldn't do. So you're going to trust in Hashem now? Tia Tochel HaSabatech Lav Nichzava Kishi Amreyu. As soon as you rebel, he's not going to come through for you. V'lo Yira Oli Kar B'Shem B'Tech Lakim, that's a B'Tech B'Lakim. That's what the pasuk says. Ki mat tikvas chonev ki yivsa ki yeshel kan nafsho. What's the hope for the person who's a flatterer? Is going to listen to your cries? That's akasu yishma kael. Doesn't make any sense. So Chovos HaLevavos is pretty clear that if you are going to put your bitachon in the Ribono Shel Olam, and then you're going to turn around and ignore the Baruch Hashem's mitzvahs and do the aveiros that you're not supposed to do, so you're going to be about bitachon? There's nothing to rely on. Why would Hashem take care of you? Why should you be recipient of Hashem's goodness? So there are those who ask, as a kasha, this Chovos HaVavos disagrees with Ramban. Ramban in Emunah Bitachon says, even the Rasha doesn't make a difference. Have Bitachon Hashem, Rachav al Kol Ma'asav, whether it's Tzadikim or Rishayim, even though you don't have Ma'asim Tovim, even though you consider the Rasha, B'tach B'Hashem, Hashem is a Baal Rachamim, Hashem al Rachmonis. But here Chovos HaVavos is saying, forget about it. You're putting your trust in Hashem and you turn around and ignore everything Hashem says, so what do you expect is going to happen? The problem is, Chazorovitz seems to contradict himself. Because in Perek Aleph, he's saying, by definition, how can you say bitachon depends on Zechusim? If it's Zechusim, you'll never have bitachon. So I would think, instead of asking a kasha from the third Perek Chazorovitz, being a rye from first Perek, but how do you deal with the Chazorovitz himself? And the first parak is telling you, of course, bitachon doesn't depend on your madrega. If it depends on your madrega, then how would you ever have bitachon? And then he says in parak Gimel, don't expect Hashem to help you out when you go ahead and do averus and ignore the mitzvahs. And again, there's the medrash that says, even the Rasha, put your bitachon kadosh baruch hu, and the Baruch will take care of you. Again, the lashon of the medrash. Afilu Rasha ubetech b'Hashem chesed zovenu. He'll be surrounded by chesed. So there's a sefer called the Igeres HaBitachon. The whole sefer, Igeres HaBitachon, discusses Bitachon. It's written by Rav Bloch, I believe there's a Munsi. And he suggests that there's no contradiction in the Chovos HaVavos, and the Chovos HaVavos is not arguing with anybody. The Medrash is very clear. Afilu Rasha b'Hashem, b'Tech b'Hashem, chesed ovenu. Even a Rasha who has bitachon, Hashem takes care of him. Ramban says, doesn't make a difference if you don't have zechusim. The big from Vilna Gaon, like we said, even the Ganif, who trusts in Hashem, says a tefillah before he steals, Hashem will be there for him. And really, by definition, how could bitachon depend on Madrega? If it depends on Madrega, then who's going to have bitachon? Only the biggest tzaddikim, even the biggest tzaddikim, are afraid that they did something wrong, they're not worthy. When the Chovos HaVavos writes in third parak that you have to strive to do the Ratzon Hashem, strive to stay away from Averus, strive to do the mitzvahs, make sure that Hashem's will is your will so that your will be Hashem's will. Avol mi sheyiftach al habori v'hu mamre oso. But if you have trust in Hashem and you rebel against him, kam hu sochol, that's an idiocy. How can that be? There has to be a difference between the person who is imperfect. We're all imperfect. Even tzaddik, and tzaddik b'taras, she'asa tov, le'echata, even tzaddikim do things that are wrong. They do tshuva right away, but they're not perfect. There's no infallibility. Only by the non-Jews do they say a person is infallible. By Yidden, there's nothing to be infallible. No one's infallible. You go through Chumash, the greatest people, Moshe Rabbeinu, something he shouldn't have done. Aaron HaKoyin, Miriam HaNeviya, Shaul HaMelech, David HaMelech, this goes on and on. Torah does not hide mistakes of the greatest people. The greatest people made mistakes. There's nothing shocking about that. The Torah is very clear, open, we call it today transparency. Torah is not a history book. The point isn't to describe a historical account. The point is to teach us that even great people can make a mistake, and they're still great. They don't lose their greatness because they made a mistake. David Melech is still David Melech, even after the Ma'aseh of Batsheva. And Moshe Rabbeinu is still Moshe Rabbeinu after Shimon HaMoirim by the Me'merivo. That doesn't change who Moshe Rabbeinu is. And bitachon is suited for everyone, whatever madrega you're on. But if a person is a mamre, if he's rebelling against Ribbono Shel Olam, so then isn't that foolish? if a person relies on someone else, and the person upon whom you are relying gives you instructions, and you ignore the instructions, so then the person you're relying is going to come through for you. So he says, a kol shkein, by the Ribbono Shel Olam who told you the mitzvahs, lo ra'uy lihikare b'shem b'teich Hashem. How can you call that person b'teich b'Hashem? So what does that mean? Perhaps Chavos Vavos is telling us, this is what the Geras HaBitachon is saying, it's very hard to truly consider yourself a Baal Bitachon if you know that you're rebelling against Kadosh Baruch Hu. Are you really a Bitachon, have Bitachon Hashem? If you really do have Bitachon Hashem, you're okay. Even the Rosh as Bitech B'Hashem Cheses Ovenu. If you're essentially a good person who does things that you shouldn't do sometimes here and there, like everybody, so it's possible to really have Bitachon Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the Baruch Hu doesn't withhold his reliance because you did something wrong. The fact you did something wrong does not make you lose your ability to trust in the Baruch Hu. And that's by definition what Bitachon is about. By definition, that's how you have Bitachon. But if someone is a rebellious person and he's mami against Hashem, does he really have Bitachon? Or does he second guess himself? Because ultimately, if he knows that Hashem told me not to do this and now I kept doing it anyway, he's going to be second guessing himself, so why would Hashem help me out? I don't deserve to be helped out. This is different than a person who's a regular person who every now and then does something wrong. So he could always gnaw at us and question, why would Hashem do anything for me? I'm not a perfect person. So that was saying you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be perfect. No one's perfect. You don't have to be perfect. You strive, you work, you try. But the person who's mami as Hashem, the person who totally rejects the Ribbono Shel Olam's mitzvahs, so he's going to at the same time call himself a Baal Bitachon. Why are you putting Bitachon Hashem? Why would you put Bitachon Hashem? Because Hashem is Kol Yochol. Hashem is almighty, all-knowing, everywhere, knows what's going on, can take care of you no matter what. So you're not listening to him? How do you resolve that? If you truly know the Ribbono Shel Olam is all-powerful, almighty, all-present, all-aware, and at the same time you're going to ignore him? People ignore the Ribbono Shel Olam because he doesn't see, doesn't know, he's not around, doesn't, you know. Like the Gemara says, why is a ganef worse than a gazlan? The ganef sneaks into people's houses, no one should see him stealing. The gazlan does it in broad daylight. The ganef is worse because he thinks Hashem doesn't see the only people I don't want people to see. The gazlan, I don't care if people see him, I don't care if Hashem sees me in broad daylight. So the ganef is worse. He thinks he's cheating Hashem, like Hashem doesn't know what I'm doing. If a person truly understood what it means to have Bitachon Hashem, because Hashem is all-powerful, all-aware, all-capable, how do you reconcile that at the same time of being aware of all that, that you ignore him when he says, openly, brazenly, mamre? That's, you can't, how do you have one person who has both? In theory, it's possible. In practice, it's probably not. And that's what he's trying to explain Chavos Zavos. Chavos is not contradicting himself. It's 100% true. Bitachon does not depend on your zechusim. Bitachon does not depend if you're a tzaddik. Even a rasha who has bitachon, Hashem will take care of him. But does a rasha really have bitachon? That's the question. Does a rasha really have bitachon? Now, if he doesn't realize he's a rasha, or doesn't think of himself as a rasha, I think for sure he can have bitachon. That makes sense. He knows he's not perfect. Everyone knows they're not perfect. But you don't think of yourself as a rasha. But if a person is mamre yes Hashem, if he's this category of the one who is called rebelling against the Ribbono Shel Olam, so he's going to be called a Boteach Belokim, it's almost inconceivable how he can split from himself having his full bitachon and then ignoring the Dvar Hashem. If you have full bitachon, it's because you're aware that Hashem is the Almighty and all-powerful and all-aware, everything, Mashkiach, and takes care of everything. So doesn't that mean you therefore I should try to do whatever he tells me to do? If I'm aware of that at the same time not listening, so if I'm truly a Baal Bitachon, even then it works. Even then it works. But the Chosavah is telling us it's not likely to happen. That's how the Igeres HaBitachon wants to explain. That the Chosavah agrees to Ramban, he agrees to the Medrash, he doesn't contradict himself. But when you have someone on this level, it's highly improbable, if not impossible, to say he's truly a Boteach Mashal Elokim. Because how can he be such a Boteach in Hashem and then totally ignore what Hashem tells you to do? Like, it just doesn't make sense. How do those two work together? And therefore, the fact that he says in Perek Gimel does not contradict what he says in Perek Aleph. The definition of bitachon is to know that if I deserve it, I deserve it. If I don't deserve it, there's a chesed. Hashem will do it mitzat chesed. I'm not at the point where I don't think to myself, why would Hashem ever do a chesed for me? But if I'm so bad, if I'm a mamreis Hashem, why would Hashem do a chesed for me? Then there's a chink in the bitachon, obviously. If I'm such a mamreis Hashem, such a rasha like that, so then do I really think Hashem will do me a chesed? If I don't think Hashem will do me a chesed, then he's not going to do me a chesed. Because I don't deserve it, and I don't have bitachon. My bitachon is not full. So I think that's basically how they want to say it. The issue isn't whether or not a rasha can have bitachon, or if a ganav can have bitachon. The issue is, in reality, does he have bitachon? Does he really have bitachon or not? If he has bitachon, it'll work for him. It'll work for him regardless of his madrega, regardless of his rishus, regardless of his merida. If he has bitachon, Hashem will take care of him. It's just very unlikely that he's going to have bitachon. It's very unlikely to have bitachon. Because Havi Tachon knows I can rely on Kadosh Baruch Hu no matter what, whether I deserve it or not, and I'm comfortable with that. I believe that. And the person whose mamay has Hashem, most likely doesn't believe it. He doesn't believe it. It's unlikely he should believe such a thing, because he's, on the one hand, going against what Kadosh Baruch Hu told him to do. Once he's mamay has Hashem, how do you reconcile that? So, again, I don't know, I don't think it's just semantics. What we're saying is that it's very difficult to find a real, real Rasha who has bitachon. If you did find it, the bitachon will work. Bitachon is not limited to the tzaddik. Bitachon works. It's like an automatic. But the question is there bitachon? When a person is that bad off, there is no bitachon. There is no bitachon. Unfortunately, we come across people who suffer terrible things, and they sometimes respond that there can't be God, because if there was God, how could this have happened? If there was God, where was he when? There are people who talk like that. And some of these people are clearly lacking in the education, in the emunah, in the bitachon, understanding, hester panim, and so on. There's a story of a fellow who's giving a speech at a hotel. I don't remember which well-known speaker it was. It was a well-known speaker. And I'm not sure exactly how it got into the Kadosh Baruch Hu's awareness and the Hashkocha. And an older man with a thick European accent said, well, if there's God, where was he when my family was slaughtered and when my city was destroyed in the Holocaust and so on? So this fellow who was speaking explained, it's not pshat that this man denied Hashem's existence. This man is fully aware of Hashem's existence. He's angry at Hashem. He's angry at his tainus. But he doesn't deny. He's not denying. The man comes to shul, he davens, says brachos, was the yarmulke. He's angry. He's upset. He's not denying. There are people who Nebuchadnezzar just deny. They just give up on the whole thing. And obviously someone who denies is not going to have bitachon. There are Nebuchadnezzar people who, of course, they don't deny. They're angry. It comes out like, as if there's a kfira. But in reality, it's not a kfira. In reality, it's a unresolved upset. And they don't have an answer. I was talking to one Yid He told me he was in 7 concentration camps. He suffered a lot in his life. He said, I have no tainus on the Bereshit Olam. I have no tainus. I don't understand a lot, he says. I don't understand. But I have no tainus. Why don't I have tainus? Because the halacha is hatayin hulach acha hanit'an. It is a halachic concept that if Reuven has a claim against Shimon, if two people have a dispute, and Reuven has a claim against Shimon, and they live in different cities, so Reuven has to go to Shimon's city to take him to court, to base it. I can't bring Shimon. You have to come to my city to have a complaint against him. Come here. The one who has the complaint, I think it's called the plaintiff, the one who has the complaint, he has to go to the defendant's city. He has to go to the city of the one he has a taina on. You have a taina on me? So come here, we'll deal with it. I don't have to go to you because you have a taina on me. It doesn't make sense. You have a taina on me, then you come here. Hatoyin holach acha hanitan. So this elder yid says to me, I'm going to complain against you. Banish leilam. Hatoyin holach acha hanitan. If I have to make a claim against God, I have to go to God to complain. I'm not going. I'm not ready to go so fast. I'm happy down here, so I don't have any complaints. I don't have any complaints. I'm not lodging any complaints. Different people respond differently to terrible tragedies, to traumatic experiences. I once asked my mother about this. She said to me, from what she saw, the people who had strong emuna before the World War II, before the Holocaust, they had strong emuna after the Holocaust. The people who had weak emuna before the Holocaust, they had weaker emuna afterwards. So the people who were weak, to start off with, this did not help the situation any. The people who were strong beforehand were strong afterwards. And this is, in general, a concept that's important to know, that you have to be strong in your emuna bitachon before you're tested. Before we're tested in our emuna, in our bitachon, you got to be stark. It's kind of like person works up and trains for some sporting event. You don't wait for the event to start practicing. You got to train and train and train until it's almost comes natural how to respond when you're being tested, when you're being challenged. The challenge is the big race. The challenge is the big event. By that point, it's so well ingrained how to deal with it, it's not a problem. But it's because of the hours and days and weeks and months of preparation. With emunah b'tachon, it's the same thing. You have to focus and work on emunah b'tachon before life gets tough. If you do, you can handle the curveballs that life throws at you. If someone is weak to begin with, never worked on it, and then chas v'shalom, they're confronted with something that's beyond their ability to cope with, to start learning about emunah b'tachon now, it's too late. You can't start emunah b'tachon now. It's a terrible thing. I see people suffering and, oh, happy talk. We mean happy talk. If you had it before, you'll have it now. If you didn't have it before, telling them happy talk now, it's not going to help you any. It's kind of like, you ever tell someone who's nervous, don't be nervous. You ever try that? It doesn't work. Tell someone who's anxious, don't be anxious. Or all of a sudden, oh, you said happy, click your fingers, I'm not anxious anymore. Or even better, don't be angry. Don't be angry. Don't be angry. If you're upset, telling someone, don't be angry. That's going to solve your anger. You all of a sudden, okay, now I'll calm down because you said not to be angry. That's the last thing to tell somebody. Never tell someone who's angry, don't be angry. Don't tell someone who's nervous, don't be nervous. And don't tell someone who's anxious not to be anxious. That's not going to help them. If someone has issues and difficulties, to tell them, well, happy talking, that's not the thing to say. I don't think so. I don't think that's the answer. It's something you tell somebody. If someone works in it and is trained in it and practices it, then when things go difficult, they can handle it. If someone is not prepared in advance, then when things occur, all of a sudden now, that's not going to make them feel better. Probably just make them feel worse. So it's the kind of thing you have to practice in advance. When it comes to Madrigas, I think it's clear, Chosvavis, in our Perek, and in Ramban, and in this Vilagoyin, and in this Medesh, you don't have to be in a special Madrigas HaBitachon. It's not necessary. What the Chavos of Avos is saying in Perek Gimel is, if someone's a really bad person and he's Marmias Hashem, he's a Benes Hashem, it's highly improbable that he's such a big Baal B'tochen. In theory, it's possible. It's possible. And if he has, the B'tochen will work for him too. As we said, B'tochen is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah for everybody. It's not only a mitzvah for a select group of people. B'tochen is a mitzvah for everybody. It's unlikely that the person whose mommy is Hashem is going to have B'tochen. It's just not likely to happen like that. The person who's disregarding Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't really think Hashem knows and cares and can do. So why would I have B'tochen? Because he doesn't know and cares. So why would I put B'tochen there? It's just unlikely to have that level of B'tochen when you're ignoring everything Hashem says. But if a person really does, it works. And for the most of us, you know, Baruch Hashem, we're not like that. We're not dealing with people who are mamre. So we try. We try to do our best. And we're not perfect. And we stumble. And we get up. And we try again. There's absolutely no hesitation in bitachon. There's no impediment. There's no reason to question whether my bitachon is effective or meaningful. That's what he says in our parak. That if we deserve it, we deserve it. We don't deserve it, chesed. Nedav, Hashem takes care of us. Chesed is sovenu, to Ibn Hashlam, protects us, guards over us, gives us kindness, regardless of the fact of whether we're deserving or not deserving. It makes absolutely no difference whatsoever.